Okay, we're looking at part four here, talking about Joshua generation entering into the land. Of course, you know, folks, in a sense, you know, we're already in the land, right? Because we live here. We're in the world, but not of the world. That's what the Bible says. But how many of us think positively about our faith and the fact that Christ is in us, the Spirit of God's in us, and the kingdom of God is within us? That's what Jesus said. How many of us think positively about that, that this is meant to make a change and make a different difference wherever you are in the world? It is. And it can, if we have faith. Now, of course, the picture of the Joshua generation is that generation that grew up in the wilderness, because the generation that came out of Egypt, Moses' generation, even though within a couple of months they were there at the border of the promised land, they would not believe God. In fact, they rebelled against God, complained against God, accused Moses, wanted to kill him, on and on it went. So much so that God was grieved with that whole generation and said, "You'll not enter into the land." Oh, man. But the Joshua generation all grew up out in the wilderness, not in Egypt. They didn't know what it was like to be a slave, but they didn't know what it was like to have the leeks and onions in Egypt either. They just grew up with God's presence and the power of God, Moses, the law, and learned how to walk with the Lord. And so those folks, well, they had faith to follow Joshua and enter the land. So, that's Joshua generation. Now, you know, we just are picking out this as a parallel for us. And I'm just flipping over here to Hebrews chapter 4 and going to get into this here in a sec. Because in Hebrews 4, it talks about the rest, the Lord's promised rest. And, of course, it's a Sabbath rest, resting from our labors at the end. But he says, you know, if the new place of rest is not the land of Canaan where Joshua led them, if it had been, God would not have spoken later of another day of rest. So there is a special rest waiting for the people of God, and everyone who enters into God's rest finds rest from their labors as God rested from his after creating the world. What is all that about, and why is he saying that? Well, what he's saying is there's a place of living in this world where we cease from our own efforts, our own labor, and enter the rest of the Lord. The reason that Moses' generation rebelled against God is because all they could see was the enemy, how big those giants were. And, well, there's this promised land. It's full of milk and honey. It's awesome, but the giants, right? But Joshua generation, they learned, and Joshua's leadership learned, keep your eyes on God. Be careful to obey everything he commanded. And that was the law of Moses, of course. But for us, it's the instruction for Christian is obey everything Jesus commanded and enter the land. And so we're going to do that. And did you know that in encountering the world, as we go about our life, the instructions of Jesus were to bless because he blessed us. He gave us the free gift of eternal life and salvation. And so God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And this is grace. This is mercy. This is blessing. This is love. This is God's life for us, and then, you know, later on through us, once we're saved, and to the world, it's all a flow of God. So what happened when Joshua entered the land? It's supernatural. You see, we want to see the kingdom of God. We want to see the things of God change our society, as it's done before in great revivals. And when the society changes, more than revival, it's a reformation of society. Revival's when the church wakes up and gets filled with God again and gets obedient to the Lord. And I'm praying that's what happens. And then a reformation takes place as the impact of a generation who follows Jesus begins to inform and change the culture and society, and we need it badly or we're going down the drain, you guys. But this is the story all around the world. Now, when I first started dating Karen, Karen's father, Jim, and his name was Somerville too, was president of Compassion of Canada. You may have heard of Compassion International. Well, Jim started Compassion in Canada and had been an evangelist and a preacher and had experienced revival and such. But anyway, he would travel around the world to various projects where they supported orphans. And one of those places was South Korea. And, you know, from the Korean War in the 50s, there were so many orphans. Now, you think about it now, those orphans are all adults in my age and that sort of thing. But the tail end of this was the orphans and the orphanages that have been started in Korea. And when he started going there in, I guess, the 60s, early 70s, I guess, Korea was still a place, you know, it was just getting it together. It was just coming out of poverty and building its economy and culture and that sort of thing. But here's what I've got to tell you. The orphans that grew up out of the Korean War were for the main part raised by Christian missionaries. And South Korea was highly Christianized. And if you go there, you can't look in any direction. You go to Seoul. Every direction you look, you'll see a cross because there's so many churches. Massive amount of the population belongs to Jesus Christ. Now, right down the very south tip, there's more still around Buddhists and that sort of thing. But you know what? This awakened population then became adults, and gradually they phased out the orphanages. And I was dating Karen at the time that was happening because they were now pretty much all grown up. And, you know, I was dating Karen when I was 20, 21. So that would have been, I suppose, the age of many of the ones that they're still late teens, mid-teens, and into their early 20s, of these ones that have been orphans, raised as Christians. And so South Korea, incredible transformation. I'm telling you what happened over the next 20 years. What a magnificent country. What a transformed country. You can, when I've been there, you'd see children out walking the streets in the evening, coming back from school, but they're coming back at 9 o'clock at night, walking down the streets. And I'd ask, you know, about this, and that's a safe, just safe, no problem, no predators, no nothing, safe culture, you know? And they'd be heading home, and they worked hard, really, really, really hard, Protestant work ethics, sacrificed for their next generation. And so we've had students who, like Sunjun, you who came here and was a student at the Christian school here and lived with us has gone on into engineering. But all of it out of Christian revival, massive transformation of his culture that was totally impoverished by war. Now strong, strong, strong Christian nation. Been crying out since the war for the reunification with the North, because the families were split up in the North and the South. And I've been to the border a number of times. There's a big chain link fence there. People stood there and prayed and cried for their families that were in the North. And you know, some unifications happened. They've been meeting their families again. Praise God. I mean, this is a God thing that's going on now, you guys. So it gives you hope. You take what God has given you, and you ask the Lord for love to fill your heart for Canada, for your job, for your community, for your family, for your business. Let's say you have a boss who's really hard to take. And what's your attitude going to be? If you're going to bring the kingdom of God in and transform the culture of the business you work at, let's say, or the school you work at, or whatever it is, how is the transformation going to take place? Listen, if you get on the bandwagon of accusing and complaining and, you know, just ragging on the guy and all the bad stuff. Listen, you're agreeing with the accuser. That's what goes on in the whole wide world without God. But if you get on the line that God's been on about you, he loved you before you even knew him. He blesses you before you even know him. He sent Christ to die while we were sinners. And he holds his hands out in this offering through the Word of God to become his own. You are bought with a price. Your sins paid for. Puts his own spirit in you. Removes the darkness. And blesses your life. Now you are an agent of the kingdom of God. You're to occupy till he comes. How do you do that? Instead of complaining and accusing and joining with the devil's program to tear people down by accusation and complaint, you get into the love of God, as I was talking about yesterday. Let his love, ask him, Lord, fill my heart with your love for this person, this boss that's miserable. Or, you know, maybe he's had a terrible time, whatever's going on in his life, you don't know. Or fill my heart, Lord, full of your love for, well, I've done this for Campbell River, for whatever, for the church, for whatever, wherever you're having trouble, your family member, whatever it is, politics, you know, maybe Trudeau, maybe Trump, maybe who cares? Get full of the love of God for them. And when you begin to experience God's love for them, I tell you what, it will break your heart. I have many times experienced the love of God for some of these desperate people and broke down weeping. And then out of this, which is a love anointing, which is the Holy Spirit bearing witness with my spirit, I begin to cry out and bless those people. You bless your boss. Lord, I bless that boss in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, send them wisdom. Oh, Lord, may every heavy power of darkness come off them and they experience your light. Oh, Father, I bless in Jesus' name. And you know what? You'll start seeing a turnaround. This is how you bring the kingdom of God in. And you pray for God, open the doors, give me an opportunity for utterance. I'm willing if you give me an opportunity, Lord, or send someone else, whatever. You begin to speak the things that are God's heart. So here's how it works. You know, it starts in the kingdom of heaven, in heaven. The word of God is forever established in the heavenly places. He loves the world. He wants to save the world. That's all been done. It's accomplished in Christ. You get filled with the word of God because Jesus said, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, you can ask whatever you will. It shall be done. Then you begin to bless according to the word of God. You bless according to the voice of the Holy Spirit. You start blessing. You bless in agreement with the word of God. You bless people. You pray for them. I mean, the word says God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting their trespasses against us. And he's given us the ministry of reconciliation. And so we say, be reconciled to God. That's what we say. We're not the judge, we're not the accuser, we're the blessers. And we start to pray that, and see, when you start to do that in accordance to what the Word of God teaches us, you're in agreement with the Lord. And so it says about Christ, he's in the heavenlies, he is the apostle and high priest of our confession or profession, which means we agree with him. Now that we've said what he says concerning those people, it's all activated. It begins to flow by the power of God. We actually participate in God's program for our created earth here. And you become a minister of the kingdom of God in your sphere of influence. So the question I've got is, are you blessing or are you cursing people? What are you doing as you go along? If, Lord, I bless my listeners right now. We could change the way we talk. We would sweep this world aside with the kingdom of God. The power of the Lord would come on the scene and redeem and save people like we've never seen before. Oh, eye has not seen or ear heard or has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him, but God is revealing it by his Spirit, it says in 2 Corinthians 3. So be a blesser. This is how we participate in the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, we start walking in his ways, saying his thoughts, declaring and praying his word, blessing. And wow, I'm just coming to my mind as I close here, one scripture about where Jesus talks about blessing those that despitefully use you. You know, bless them, don't curse them, because then you'll be like your heavenly Father, Jesus said, who's kind to the wicked and ungrateful men. Whoa. Be like that in the name of Jesus. Don't be like this world. Be like Jesus. I pray the mighty blessing and love of God would fill you through and through until it overflows. It's the remedy to fear. It's the antidote to accusation. It's the power of the Lord revealed in our life. The good things of God overflowing our heart, overflowing into our sphere of influence, blessing and transforming. In Jesus' name, be part of the cure.